The NICO metal finishing plant in South Minneapolis is clean and updated. It pays new employees $8 an hour plus benefits with no experience or education required. But company officials say they sometimes have trouble finding workers in Twin Cities' tight labor market. Until recently, the plant's workforce was mostly white. But in the past few years, NICO has hired a number of African Americans recently arrived from out of state. 27-year-old Steve McMorris came from Chicago 4 years ago. He says he couldn't support his family on a part-time job at a Chicago grocery store. Within a few months after moving to Minneapolis, he had a job at NICO.
Right now I'm up to $11.25 an hour.
Do you think you could be making that kind of money in Chicago right now?
No way, no. Maybe if you went way out into the suburbs and had 20 years of experience in something, you could, but not within 4 years, no.
Job growth in the Twin Cities is not as dramatic as the industrial boom that prompted a flood of black migration from the South to cities like Chicago and Detroit a half century ago. But unemployment in Minneapolis-St. Paul is at a rock-bottom 2.6%. Area restaurants, retailers, and manufacturing plants are festooned with help wanted signs.
What's up, partner? What can I get you?
How you doing? 6-inch tuna and whole wheat.
How about you?
Alton Lancaster and Ed Briggs earn $6 or $7 an hour making sandwiches at a Subway shop in a downtown Minneapolis office building. Lancaster moved in from Chicago last spring. Briggs came from the depressed steel town, Gary, Indiana, 2 years ago. Briggs says you may not get rich in Minneapolis, but there's no excuse for not finding a job in the city.
If you want something, Minnesota is a place to get it because I came up here on a Monday. I got here on Monday night, to be exact, at 10 o'clock I got here, okay? And that Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, I had two jobs.
For more than a century, Minneapolis-St. Paul and its prosperity have drawn migrants, most of them white people from Midwestern farms and small towns. Only since the early 1980s has the stream included a substantial number of African Americans. Minnesota's black population has nearly tripled in less than two decades, from 50,000 in 1980 to about 140,000 today. By contrast, in most northern cities, New York, Chicago, Detroit, Cleveland, more blacks are moving out than are moving in. William Fry, a demographer at the University of Michigan, says Minneapolis-St. Paul emerged as a leading destination for black migrants when the downturn in the Rust Belt economy deepened in the early 1980s. More than half of the African Americans moving to Minnesota in recent years have been poor. Fry says such migration streams gain momentum through word of mouth.
And when you hear that this is a good place to live, and on top of it you have some friends who live there, which will make you feel welcome when you get there, it's the kind of movement that started a lot of the movement north decades ago, but this is more of a mini-trend to Minnesota, but one that will likely continue.
A large fraction of blacks moving to Minnesota are coming from Chicago and Gary, Indiana, a day's drive or bus ride away. Willie Mae Sibley, now 62 years old, was in the early part of the wave back in 1984. She says she and her husband left Chicago in search of jobs and to get their young sons away from the increasing violence in the Stateway Gardens housing project.
I had an older son that I can see it just as plain as it was. The day we were walking down 35th Street, and he told me, he was walking with his arm around me, and he said, Mom, he said, whatever you do, said, get these boys out of here.
Sibley's husband found work in Minneapolis right away, as did several of their grown children. The extended family rented a house in a racially mixed neighborhood in South Minneapolis.
We were blessed when we came here. We moved out of a four-bedroom house, apartment, rather, and moved to a 13-room house in Minnesota, so that was quite a change, you know, quite a change. And then living in the project that was right around the building, there was no grass to go out, walk out on, you know, and we got a beautiful green yard to walk out on. It was quite a experience, enjoyable.
Mrs. Sibley grew up in poverty in the Mississippi Delta. As a young woman in the 1950s, she joined the huge northward migration of southern blacks seeking work and a better life in the north. She and her husband worked various jobs in Chicago, but he was an alcoholic and never earned enough to lift the large family out of poverty. In Minneapolis, too, Mrs. Sibley lived on welfare for a couple of years after she and her husband separated, but she now works full-time as a pastor at a South Minneapolis ministry. Nine of her grown children live in the Twin Cities. All are in school or have jobs. 40 years after she left the South, Willie Sibley and her family are finally scratching their way into the middle class.
I think with a black woman from the South, no education, a large family, I think I've done pretty good. Because I believe in the Lord that before this year is out, I'm going to own my own home. I'm going for that.
Success stories like Willie Mae Sibley's are easy to find among blacks who've moved to Minnesota, but other kinds of stories get more attention in the local media. Poor African Americans who move to Minneapolis and remain on welfare, or get arrested for drug dealing or homicide. In a metropolitan area that's still 90% white, and that views its quality of life as a fragile treasure, those stories feed fear. They also fuel the perception that African Americans from the ghettos of larger cities bring problems that white newcomers do not bring.
This is a city very close to under siege. It doesn't make any difference where they are from, if they are poor, but it is a poverty issue, and very, very often it's an African American issue.
Former Minneapolis City Council member and talk radio host Barbara Carlson is running for mayor against incumbent Sharon Sales Belton, Minneapolis's first African American mayor. Carlson, a Republican, promises to take back Minneapolis and restore the city to what she considers its former greatness. She says Minnesota has been too welcoming to poor blacks from out of state by paying some of the highest welfare benefits in the Midwest. She points to nicknames for Minneapolis that refer to its spiking homicide rate in recent years and its reputation as a welfare haven.
We might as well be the Statue of Liberty. We're the city that's been Murderapolis. We're the city that's been Moneyapolis, and people don't want to discuss it. And every time you talk about these issues, you are charged with the word racist, and I'll tell you, when somebody calls you racist, all dialogue ceases. The issue is the poverty that is growing in Minneapolis today. Today, they're coming in.
Mayor Sales Belton says such talk is harmful and paints African American newcomers as uniformly poor and troubled.
If you looked at the growth in population amongst African Americans in the community, the bulk of the people that are migrating in are professional people who are making contribution to the community.
Twin Cities corporations have attracted thousands of black professionals since the 1960s and continue to do so. But census data shows that since the mid-1980s, more than half of all blacks who moved to Minnesota have had incomes below the federal poverty line. By contrast, barely 10% of blacks moving to Atlanta during that period were poor. Many new arrivals to Minneapolis spend time here at Hennepin County's Family Shelter. Surveys have found that some 60% of people in Twin Cities shelters moved to the state within the past 2 years. And shelter officials say more than 3 out of 4 residents are black. Besides room and board and medical treatment, families arriving at the shelter are assigned an advocate who helps them find housing in the city. Greg Owen is a sociologist with the Wilder Research Center, a St. Paul nonprofit that surveys shelter residents. He says newcomers give many reasons for coming to Minnesota: jobs, better schools, safer neighborhoods, but he says the safety net is a factor for some.
Frankly, it's known outside of Minnesota that Minnesota provides a good shelter system, good housing opportunities for lower-income families, and a number of the responses that we get relate to that specifically. I thought I could get on my feet more easily here in Minnesota.
But Minnesota is changing its policies toward people who move to the state. Its new welfare law, which took effect in July, pays newcomers no more than they got in the state they came from. It's too early to say whether that will slow the in-migration of poor people. One school of thought says as welfare reform takes hold across the country and recipients are increasingly pushed into the job market, Minnesota will draw more poor people than ever because of its abundance of low-skilled jobs. John Powell, a law professor and director of the Institute on Race and Poverty at the University of Minnesota, says what's striking is not that blacks are moving to the Twin Cities, but that the region remained so overwhelmingly white for so long. It's still the whitest of the nation's 15 largest metropolitan areas. Powell says some white Minnesotans display a disturbing preoccupation with blacks moving to the state.
And I listened to some of the talk radio shows, just incredible, incredibly fixated on Gary and Chicago. I mean, and again, one would think that those areas have been completely depopulated by all the hordes of black gangsters moving here from those two places.
Minneapolis police say while most poor blacks moving to the city are not involved in crime, more than three-fourths of the city's hardcore street gang members moved to town from Chicago. Blacks make up just 13% of Minneapolis's population, but two-thirds of the city's homicide victims and perpetrators in the past 3 years were black. Powell says he's not interested in glossing over those facts, but he says Minnesotans should try to understand the economic despair and social isolation that created gang culture in the ghettos of Chicago and Detroit, and try to avoid replicating those conditions in Minneapolis and St. Paul. Powell says so far the Twin Cities aren't responding well. He points to the high rate of middle-class flight to the suburbs and to studies showing housing discrimination against blacks is common in Minneapolis's middle-class neighborhoods.
We manufacture despair here, and then we use that despair, we use that hopelessness to push people further down. So they're behaving badly, so we don't want them in a neighborhood. We isolate them even more, and we get this vicious cycle.
Powell says the Twin Cities are an important test case of whether an American city that in some ways is just beginning to deal with race can do better than older, larger cities have done. The U.S. Census predicts that Minneapolis-St. Paul will remain the number one northern destination for African Americans for the next generation. For Minnesota Public Radio, I'm John Bewin.